I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. But I believe your son on the cross, he can whip the devil. He can pay for my sin debt. And I want to put my faith in him. But will you have me? I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being drunken. I'm sorry for being in jail, Savannah. I'm sorry for being an unvirtuous person. I need you. Because I've made a mess of my life. And I'm only 20 years old. But I found out real quick. Life is just to live, to have, to die, to leave it to somebody else. You're not taking it with you. And so I threw myself on the mercy of the court that day and said, mercy. My God, have mercy on my soul. Amen. And as the old preacher said, that day, Jesus Christ the righteous came up and said, sir, what can I do for you? And I raised my head and said, do for me that which I cannot do for myself.
Amen.
I can't save myself.
That's right.
Oh, Jesus looked at the Father, the head judge that day. Said, Father, he's serious. He wants to sell out lock, stock, and barrel. He's not holding nothing back. He's confessed his sins. He knows he's not good enough, strong enough, and smart enough. He wants to put his faith in me. And God said, we'll buy him. And I was bought with the blood of Jesus in 1975. And Jesus said, stand up, son. I'm your great defense attorney now. Come judgment day, God opens that book and he says, book of life, book of life. Wayne Fair, and I come up there naked as a jaybird. Wayne Fair, book of life. All of a sudden, my defense attorney, I'm not going to be speaking. He'll plead my case. Jesus Christ the righteous. He'll step up and say, Your Honor, I think if you look in the book of life, 1975, Wayne Fair and God the Father looks in the book of life, 1975, Wayne Fair. Yeah, I see. Yes, I took his case in 1975, Father. This is my client. Pardoned. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a good man. I'm not going to heaven because God owes me because I did 30 years in Papua New Guinea and my wife did 30 years in Papua New Guinea. I'm going to heaven because Jesus paid it all. It is faith. That's the only thing that pleases God. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And look at Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bible. Today's message is what? The best. He wants what? What does he want from you? What does he want from me? He wants the best. Well, physically speaking, the best we can give is not enough. That's why he had to pay for it. And he had to buy it for us. Because we couldn't do it on our own. And so, you think of this long on it. Now, I had this bad car wreck back in 1991, and I ate a steering wheel, and I went to the orthodontist because at that time I had my teeth in braces, and they came out in a big chunk because I ate that steering wheel, and my eardrum burst, and blood ran down. And I went back to the orthodontist 6 months later. He goes, wow. He said, you know what? I said, what's that, sir? He said, you're the first patient I've had to come back and that ate a steering wheel and come back and live to tell me about it. But you know, you might learn how to play trombone in fourth grade and play trombone until you're in 12th grade. But you know, once you've had a facelift and ate a steering wheel and had the roof of your mouth broken and had your face put back together, then you have to have dentures and implants and all this other stuff. You might blow a trombone a little bit different. But this song is called what? Our Best. Does that exactly say, Brother Wayne? Well, it just exactly says this. It says this. Hear ye the Master's call, give me thy best. For be it great or small, that is the test. Do then the best you can, not for reward, not for the praise of men, but for the Lord. Every work for Jesus will be blessed. But he asks from everyone his best. Our talents may be few, these may be small, but unto him is due our best, our all. When it comes to missions, the best you can do is live by faith. The best you can do is give by faith. The best you can do is go by faith. Because that pleases the Father. People say, well, you know, I give my tithe, Brother Wayne. Well, that tithe, that is just the starting point. You know, that's not faith. That's giving what's expected. But giving to missions is above and beyond. And when it comes to giving to missions, it pleases God that you do what you do by faith. Now, how do we get a hold of this thing? Well, let us look in our Bible at Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he, Abel, obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, God testifying of Abel's gifts. God testified of Abel's gifts that by that gift, he, Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. You know, you can invest in the government, you can invest in stocks and bonds, you can invest in land and property, but you know, it's all going to be burned up and go away. But why would God be pleased for you to invest in missions? Because it's souls that are eternal. Souls of Chinese men, and souls of Papua New Guinea men, and souls of African men and women that are going to spend eternity somewhere forever and ever. And if you give to missions so others can go, and those that go preach the gospel, and people get saved, then you are involved in an external, eternal investment. External is Your benefits are out of this world. It's in heaven. And eternal, it is the souls of men and women where the soul never dies. And so God is going to be pleased for you to do what you can. And the question was, and the statement was that Jesus said she had done what she could. The question goes to you and I, have we done what we could? As a man 35 years old or 30 years old at the time, and the Lord dealing with me in 1989, that He wanted more. And I thought, well, you know, Lord, you got me. I mean, I'm in the church here. I mean, I'm the mission secretary. I mean, you know, I do the jail ministry. Lord, I'm on the streets and paths. And Lord, I'm doing the nursing home. And the Lord goes, oh, no. And then He brought up this thing about Papua New Guinea. I thought, whoa, I think you got the wrong guy. I'm the ninth child of a poor farmer from Pennsylvania, Lord. And I got five children. And Lord, I don't think, Lord, I can't go. And then the Lord hit me that still small voice. What if my son Jesus said, I can't go? Where would you be waiting? You wouldn't have a Savior. What if my son Jesus said, I can't go? I mean, Father, I mean, I know that bunch down there, a bunch of sinners. They're a bunch of lying, thieving, conniving people. I mean, they steal and they lie about things. And, you know, they're involved in every dirty thing it's involved with. And I know, Lord, if I go down there, Father, they'll probably want to spit on me, pull my beard out, mock me. And they're just saying, but Jesus didn't. He knew what He was getting into before He came, and He still came. He knew they were going to mock Him. He stayed, and He paid. Well, when it comes to this offering here of Abel, what kind of offering was it? Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for the blessings You've given unto us, given us Your Holy Spirit, to give us peace that passes all understanding in a troubled world. Lord, You've given us Your word, which let not one jot or tittle is going to fail here. And Lord, You've given us a Savior. Lord, we have an anchor, strong and sure. And Lord, You're our Heavenly Father, Lord. We can come to You anytime, and Your door is always open. And You said that we should cast all our care upon You, for You care. You care for us, Lord. Why You care for us, Lord, sometimes we just wonder why would You care, but we're so thankful that You was a God that so loved and wasn't a God that so hated us. Thank You for loving us. Pray You bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. The best. He wants the best. Well, I believe Abel, he was talking to his mom and daddy that day. Said, why do y'all offer sacrifices, Mom and Dad? They said, well, this is what the Lord wants. We built an altar, but what is it? And I believe those boys were looking around and talking to their mom and dad and said, oh, yeah, we noticed that, you know, we got these clothes. And it is written in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse 21. And the Bible says this, and unto Adam and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin, and He clothed them. When did He clothe them? After they sinned in the garden. I believe Mom and Dad said to the boys, you know, we sinned, broke God's law, and a couple of innocent animals had to die that day. Their blood was shed so we could get clothes. And this is what God wants. He wants us to shed the blood of the animal and give Him the firstborn, the best that we got. He wants the best. We give Him the best, and that's what He wants. Well, it soaked in on Abel, but Cain said, no, I got my own religion. And you're going to accept me the way I say. And I got corn and I got beans and I worked hard for this, and if God don't accept my religion, I'll just go to hell. Oh, that's real smart, Cain. That's real smart. No, the best thing you should do is find out what the Father wants. And you worship God in spirit and truth and say, God, just tell me what you want. I just want to please you. And the Lord says, well, I'll tell you what. Your mom and daddy said, what I prefer is the shed blood of a lamb. And Abel said, well, I'm going to pick up the best I got. I just want to please the Lord and do what the Lord... I just want to find favor in His sight. And so he picked out that lamb, that sheep, and shed the blood. Cain, he said, he got angry. He was envious. God chooses you. It has nothing to do with God choosing you and God not choosing him and all that. It has to do what God tells you to do and everything is going to be fine. Right. Step out by faith. And so Abel said, well, by faith, and I believe he probably was willing to tell his brother Cain, oh, look, I can give you, I don't need none of your help. And Cain killed his brother Abel. What kind of offering? Point number one, what kind of offering does God prefer? Well, it's an offering of faith. He put his faith in what God said, and he wanted to do what God wanted. He wanted to please the Lord, and by faith, he was willing to give that lamb, Abel was, because he wanted favor from the Lord. He wanted the Lord's favor upon him. And so when he did what he did, it was an offering of faith. It was an offering that found favor from the Lord. And it was an offering, it's the offering that speaks. Notice he said in verse 4, hey, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, Abel being dead, yet speaketh. It's an offering that's going to speak even when you're dead. And God said, you know what, boy, you wanted to do what I wanted you to do, and you wanted to do it from your heart. And I'm going to put your testimony right here in Hebrews 11. And you're not going to just find that it was an offering of faith. You're not going to just find it was I found favor in my sight. But your offering is going to speak forever. It's going to speak forever. When you're dead and gone, it's going to be in my book. You know what? When you invest in missions, it's an offering that's going to speak forever. Even though you're dead and gone, little Papua New Guineans or little Chinese or Japanese or African people that got saved, it's going to speak forever. Even once you're dead and gone, the Lord's going to say, I love you because you obeyed me. And the only thing that could please me is faith. That's what he said over there in verse 6. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him who? God the Father. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he, God, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Why, Adam told his boys, this is what God wants. Abel, he said, I just want to do what the Lord wants. I just want to worship the Lord. And I just want to please Him. And by faith, I'm going to give the best I got. He gave the best. And the Lord said, you know what, son? You not only gave an offering of faith that day, you found favor in my sight. And you got an offering that's going to speak forever. It was a special offering. Not only does God pay attention to what we give, and how we give, he does. Notice in your Bible, point number two that we're going to cover is how about not just a special offering and an offering that speaks. Secondly, it was an offering that is a substantial offering that is given. And we think, what's a substantial offering to the Lord? Will God ever ask for the last thing you have? Yeah, he will. He'll check us out. Will God ever try our faith? Why, when you look there and you hold that Hebrews chapter number 11 and you just flip the page over there at Hebrews 11 and look at the other side of the page here and look at verse number 17. And by faith, when Abraham, when he was what? When Abraham was what? Tried. Yeah, your faith's going to be tried. My faith's going to be tried. My faith was tried before I even got to Papua New Guinea. But that bad car wreck, and I had other missionaries saying, listen, brother, I mean, if you feel like you can't go because you're starting out in a wheelchair and then you're walking with a walker and everything. And I said, well, you know, God tries our faith. But, you know, when I went through that bad car wreck and my mouth was bleeding real bad, and right there during that moment, I said, Lord, have I done something wrong? I'm on deputation trying to get to Papua New Guinea. I mean, is there sin in my life? Why this? I can't understand. And it came to my mind just that quick click, because I had gone, maybe Brother Jody and us had drove up to Charleston, South Carolina, to hear Brother Lester Roloff preach. And Brother Roloff was preaching that day, and he goes, let me tell you something, son. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Nothing ever took God by surprise. There I was bleeding. I thought, Lord, you knew this. I don't understand this. But if you want me to go and not live, then, Lord, your will. Somebody said, Brother Jody, Brother Adam Brad said to me, what did you think? Because we were driving carpooling later on, 6 months or so, going somewhere. Did you think that was the Lord still small voice telling you you're going to live? And I said, no. When that happened and I was bleeding profusely, and my face was busted, and my hip was busted out, and my elbow was out like this, sticking back here. And it was okay. If I die, I die. So what happened? Well, it's just like this, you know. Your grace, you're not going to get the grace, dying grace, until it's time. But when I was that bad car accident, when I said, Lord, I don't understand this, you know, nothing in my life, I confess everything if there was anything, but I don't see anything, Lord, but if you want me to die, I'll go. And somebody said, what was that like? And I said, at that moment when I gave it to the Lord, it was just like a mama. You ever see mamas that their baby starts crying, and there's other women around, and these other women will have this baby that belongs to this other mama, and they'll hand that baby to this girl, and this girl will hold it, and that baby will cry, and then they'll hand that baby to the next girl, and the baby's still crying, but then the mama gets the baby and pulls the baby close to her breast, and the baby goes. When the Lord pulled me close, I said, it's okay. He said, it's okay. I got you. Amen. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Amen. No, I didn't know I was going to live. But you know what? The highway patrolman was 24 years old, running a car 80 miles an hour. He was not on a call. He was just running a car fast on a tar and chip road. And I lost his headlights. Went bye-byes. I couldn't see him because the side of his car was sliding at me, and I saw a South Carolina State Trooper, and boom. He hit me at 80 miles an hour sliding sideways. I lived. He was 24-year-old highway patrolman, been married 2 months. 7 days later, he died. And I lived to go to Papua New Guinea and serve the Lord for 30 years. Yes, your faith will be tried. But God's not out to break you. He's out to make you. Amen. And just as the old blacksmith puts the horseshoe in the fire and pulls it out and puts it in the fire and hammers it on the anvil and pulls it out, what is he doing? He's hardening it. He's tempering that shoe so it's going to be fit to do the work, and it'll stand the test whenever it has to go on that paved road. And so God does us sometimes. Well, Abel found out that the Lord wanted the best sheep. He wanted the blood of the lamb. Abel gave it. Does God pay attention to what we give? Yes, let us quickly turn to a substantial gift. It's not just a special gift. It was given by Abel, a gift that speaks, that will have eternal rewards. But it's a substantial gift. Let us look at Mark chapter 12 in your Bible. Turn to Mark chapter 12. And somebody said, you reckon, Brother Wayne, the Lord pays attention to what people give? I said, sure, the Lord pays attention to what people give. Notice in this context right here, Mark chapter number 12, at Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. And so there Jesus sat in verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury. He sat over against the treasury and he beheld how people cast money. There is Jesus. He's sitting over there close to where the box is, the offering box. And he's sitting there and he's watching what people are giving. Here comes one businessman, got him a big clay jar with a skinny neck on it, full of coins. He comes over to the box, picks that thing up. Clink, 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 clink. Everybody in the area is going, I don't know, look at how he's giving. Clink, 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 clink. Oh, man. Clink, 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 clink. And then here comes this widow. She comes by, not dressed too well. She comes by and she just goes, plunk, plunk. Well, while everybody in the world is paying attention to the businessman, clink, 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 the Lord says, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Verse 41, and Jesus beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, making a farthing. Now, if you read your Bible in Matthew chapter 10, two mites will buy you a couple of sparrows for a farthing. And so she could have went and bought a couple of sparrows for a farthing, and she could have offered them up, but she said, nah. I just believe the Lord wants me to give it all. Just put it in the box. And she dropped in those two mites, making a farthing. And Jesus, verse 43, he called unto him his disciples. And he saith unto them, hey, boys, hey, you see that? You see that one? Well, yeah, Lord, I just heard two punk. Let me tell you something. She put in more than everybody here. It was a substantial offering in the eyes of the Lord. That little old two plunk plunk. Jesus is paying attention to what we give. He knows. And he's looking. This poor widow cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want. That old English word of her want, but she of her lack. She lacked, all she had was that two coins. She did cast in all that she had, even all her living. You say you believe the Lord takes care of widows? I believe the Lord takes care of widows. I believe, you know, she was working her garden. Man, the cabbages are really putting on. Look at them cucumbers I got. Man, and the neighbor boy coming. Mama, I cut down a tree and I got a whole bunch of kindling wood left. I just want to give it to you. These two. Listen, thank you, Lord. I know you're going to take care of me. My cabbage is doing good. My cucumbers are putting on. The neighbor boy is giving me firewood. My health is good. I'm strong. I've been sleeping good at night. This is all I got. I know you, Lord, by faith, I just want to give it. Because I know you'll take care of me. You've been doing a good job all along. It was a substantial offering in the eyes of the Lord. Even though everybody else didn't think she was no count. But in the eyes of the Lord, she was a big giver. She gave everything. Let us continue. Wrap things up here. You know what? The Lord knows what we give. And the Lord knows why we give. And the Lord knows if we're just trying to impress people. I was telling somebody, you know, one of the first faith promise missions conferences I was in out in California, they read it like an auction. And that was a Baptist church now. Yeah, Brother So-and-so, he's got the auto body shop. Yeah, he's staying up. Yeah, I think we'd get 200 months of missions. And over here, I'll tell you what. No, we got a truck farm, and we're picking celery and cabbage, and I think we'd give 100 months of missions. And, you know, man, I'm thinking, okay, I'm just a little no rank. Yeah, I think we could give $5 a week, yeah. Listen, it's not about shaming people. What you give is between you and God. And you get along with God. You say, how do you do faith giving, Brother Wayne? Well, it's like this. I operate on the KISS factor. Keep it simple, stupid. That's right. Listen, Lord, you give me these clothes. And I got these shoes, man, at the Goodwill. At their rock porch. Had to wait a fellow died, but I got them for $9.99. And, you know, and you're taking good care of me. Those are nice shoes, and you're doing good. And Lord, my money, you give me my money. And my wife, she's actually yours. She belongs to you, too. You gave her to me. I got five children, Lord, you gave me those five children. They're your children. I belong to you. My money belongs to you. My wife belongs to you. I got all this property and all this stuff because you give it to me. And that belongs to you. And Lord, what do you want to give to missions? Through me. Lord, I don't know what I can do. I mean, I'm just little and I don't know. What? Really? I can give $8 a week to missions? Lord, I mean, you know, I got this other stuff and all this. I mean, $8 a week, Lord. I mean, sometimes there's 5 weeks in a month. I mean, that's $40 a month, Lord. Lord, what? If you say I'm good for it, why ain't I believing you? Well, I'm sorry, Lord. I mean, if you say you're telling me that you're good for, yeah, if I tell you you're good for $8 a week, then can I back up what I tell you, Wayne? Well, yeah, Lord. But, okay, Lord. I'm going to trust you. I don't understand this. But come payday, this is the tithe, okay, and this is the eight. And when you do what God tells you to do, now, how you look like Lord, I'm coming to the edge of the cliff. I don't have enough. And and the Lord goes, pull a rabbit out of the hat. What? Phone rang. Yes, Bill. Down the way. Yeah, Bill, what do you want? You still got that good chainsaw? Uh-huh. You know, I got this oak tree, the wind blown down here. And the wife and I was talking. If you come down and cut this thing up for us, we would like to give you $100. God will take care of you if you just do what He tells you to do when He tells you. And so you have to get along with the Lord and say, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? And the Lord goes, well, you're good for this amount every week. And you go, well, Lord. And He goes, well, what do you mean? You don't trust me? You don't think I'm good for it? Well, I ain't saying you're not good for it, Lord. That's how faith giving should work. And you know what? When you give what the Lord tells you to give, it's not Bill's business what you're giving. It's not John's business. It's not Molly's business. It's between you and God. You're not supposed to be letting your right hand know what your left hand's doing. You just do what God tells you to do. You put on the card. You don't sign your name.
Right.
You don't stand up and blow your trumpet. Oh, we gave this much last year to mission. No.
Right.
You do what you do and do it humbly, and God will bless you. let us close with this. God wants not only a special gift that speaks. God not only wants a substantial gift, you know, like the poor widow by faith, but God wants a sacrificial gift. Well, you know, where does that come in, Brother Wayne? Well, let us wrap up things with this, you know. Did God give a sacrificial gift? He gave His Son, His only begotten Son. Did He have somebody that went before Him that He tried? Yeah, Abraham. He said to Abraham in Genesis, I want you to give your son, thine only son. Take him, thine only son. And he repeats that over in Genesis, if you read it, thine only son. And that's why God ends up calling Abraham, you know what? You're my friend. Because what you was willing to do, I'm going to do. I'm going to give my son, my only son, for a bunch of sinners so they can come to heaven. Oh, God loved us. Sent His only Son. Will God only always sometimes ask you for the best and the only thing you got? Sometimes He will. He'll try us. And so let us look at this. Have you, in closing, given yourself to God? Have you given yourself to God? I mean, are you saved? Well, you say, yeah, I'm saved, Brother Wayne. Well, if you've given yourself to God, the best ability is what? Availability. Where are you? Are you willing to come to this altar today and say, here, my Lord, if you want me to stay here and give to missions and support the local church, I'll stay here and give to missions. If you want me to make myself available to go to the mission field, I'm making myself available. Lord, just whatever you want. I just want to please you by faith. Are you willing to make that sacrificial offering and give yourself? I thank Brother Brad happened to pick that song today, and it was just of God. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Yes, He wants a sacrificial gift. He wants you to give yourself away. And He wants to say to you, no, I'm not picking you to go to the mission field, but I got something for you right here in this local church. I want you to be faithful to do this. And if you'll be faithful to do this, I'll bless you for it. Make yourself available. The question is, are you saved? If Jesus were to come tonight as a thief in the night, are you going to heaven? Or are you going to be left behind? No, I want you to go to heaven. I want the best for you. But you're going to have to let go and let God have His way in your life. Today, I'd like us all to stand to our feet. And if you're saved, all of your head bowed and every eye closed. If you're saved, I want you to put your hand up and say, I'm saved. And every hand that I see up, we're not going to single anybody out. We're not going to shame anybody. We're just going to tell everybody that's saved, come down here to this altar right now. I want you to leave that pew right this minute. Let's go. Move it. That's right. People want to eat. Let's not be holding them up. That's right. You come down here to this altar and say, what? Lord, I don't know what I can give. Lord, what will Thou have me to do? I don't know what, Lord. And if you can't bow or you're having problems with your legs or something, you come sit in the front pew, sit down there and pray with us and ask the Lord, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? Lord, You've been good. You gave us the best. You gave us Your only begotten Son. And I know You want the very best from us, Lord. Father, I pray, dear God, that You would help this local church, Lord. Lord, we're not singling anybody out. Father, we just want them all, Lord, to come and seek Your face. Some may be scared or ashamed to come by themselves, but as long as they see everybody in the church coming down, Lord, they're going to come down here and do business with You. We don't know who's doing business with You right now, but somebody's here saying, Lord, here am I. Lord, I'm available. Lord, you gave your very best. Lord, we want to give our best to you. I don't know what that is, Lord. I don't know what you'd have us to give. I don't know if you'd have us to go, but Father, we're willing, Lord, to make ourselves available as a vessel unto honor, meet for the Master's use. Father, we'll be careful to give you the praise. Brother Crox, you come and take over and close this service.